The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
We had a good run. I ain't even mad. A new cat in town. His name's Sky Moore. Drafted a pull. Call him Furious George. Got Jalen Watson in the seventh round.
Someone sent this to me on Facebook. And I like to play Chief's original music for Nate to have him grade it. This is from Ya Boy the Coach.
Defense rebound still got 95. Stone Cold Chris Jones. Yeah, that's right. You know our motto. Next man up. Hold it down for the town. Never give up. You know our motto. Next man up. Hold it down for the town. Next man up.
Say something.
Well, I'm trying to give it a listen here. Give it a C+.
Yeah.
I'm a harsh grader.
Yeah, sounds like it.
That's a passing grade, though.
What about you, Marco?
You know what? B minus B, because of the references made in it. I think the lyrics are on point. Beat's pretty fine. I could do without the O-O, but I get it. It's a fan song.
All right.
That's facts.
Just want to throw that out there.
It fits.
A couple of non-football items I want to run past you, Nate. Get your thoughts on this. Couple of baseball columns that were written, mentioned on the Royals. So.
And the Royals secured last place.
Is that a surprise?
The Tigers seemed like they were going to.
The Royals found a way to get it done.
Swept them.
John Heyman.
Hey, man.
At the NewYorkPost.com, Baseball Insider wrote a column today about MLB's managerial reckoning begins with Tony La Russa's White Sox fate, and he has a rundown of managerial questions that are left to be answered this offseason, and he has the Kansas City Royals, and he writes, Mike Matheny was hired by Dayton Moore, who's now gone, with players hoping for a change. It's hard to imagine he'll be back. So John Heyman says, although Marco has somehow turned off Nate's mic because he doesn't want to hear your response.
He didn't like my grade, I guess.
But John Heyman says, with players hoping for a change, it's hard to imagine he'll be back. So you have John Heyman writing that players are hoping for a change at manager for the Royals. Ken Rosenthal goes more in depth. He has a column at The Athletic about the different managerial issues or managerial positions that are, he considers, up in the air going into the offseason. And again, one of those is the Kansas City Royals. He is not as hardcore as our man was, John Heyman. But he does write about a couple of possible replacements if indeed the Royals decide to go in a different direction. He said, Mike Matheny is held in high regard by the club's decision makers, but the most prominent of those decision makers, Dayton Moore, is out of a job. Additional changes are likely, and few would be surprised if those changes include Matheny, even though the Royals in March exercised his club option for 2023. Under Matheny, the Royals have gone 26-34, 74-88, and 63-93, so they keep getting worse. And some with the team have wondered if Matheny's relentless intensity is too much for a young club. John Sherman has spoken of the need for more data-driven decisions, and that desire likely extends to the manager's office. Sherman's choice of general manager J.J. Piccolo to replace Moore would seem to suggest the new owner values stability. Royals bench coach Pedro Grafal would be a leading candidate to replace Matheny if they wanted to stay in-house. Sherman, though, clearly wants the team to think as progressively as the Cleveland Guardians, for whom he previously was a minority investor. Someone like Matt Quartaro, who was Cleveland's hitting coach from 14 to 16 before joining the Rays as third base coach and then bench coach would appear to be a logical fit. So there. I said a lot. Anything?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that, Mike Matheny's not, did not maintain the clubhouse.
And I would like
about
someone.
Those Royals,
from,
huh?
Nothing against Pedro Grifol, but I would enjoy someone from Cleveland or Tampa. So
maybe a fresh perspective.
How about that, Tim Grunhardt?
Fresh perspective.
Am I on?
This guy doesn't want anyone to talk right now.
Marco?
What are you doing with those microphones? Are you trying to show people who's in charge?
Yeah, he's
Marco. Marco in charge. He's in charge of the means of production and or the means of talking.
What we wish Marco would have been in charge of Chris Jones' microphone in the fourth quarter.
Turn that mic off.
What'd you think of that?
Well, I listened to you guys earlier in the week, and I agree with some of the stuff you guys said. And
all
you know,
of it?
Not all of it. Sure. I never agree with everything everybody says. Yeah. But, hey, yeah, I mean, if you're the umpire or the referee in that situation, do you throw a flag? Probably not.
Walk
I mean,
away.
It. You know, so, listen, it didn't. Here's the crux of the whole thing. It didn't cause the Chiefs to lose. But, like, on ESPN, that app, you know, when you go on and you click on, like, the box score and it has the probabilities of winning.
Yes.
You know, it kind of goes up and down with different situations
yes.
and different scores. Well, the probability of the Chiefs winning dropped significantly when they were given that first down. It didn't mean that it was the main reason why the Chiefs lost, but it dropped the probability of the Chiefs winning the football game. Chris Jones has got to be smarter than that. You've got to have some discipline. He laid on the quarterback. When the quarterback got up, he said some things. Matt Ryan didn't look like he said anything. I mean, Matt Ryan is like a little puppy dog out there. He's one of the guys in the league that everybody says is like, he don't say anything. So, I don't know. Chris was emotional. I've been emotional. You know, Chris, did something stupid, and we've all done that. It just is a shame that it happened at that situation. And listen, the point of emphasis from the league has been about this taunting thing. And that's the first thing they showed when they all met in training camp at the very first day. The NFL always has this video, and it goes through different rules. It used to be gambling was the number one thing. You know, don't get involved with gamblers, never gamble on a game. You know, gambling's illegal. Yeah. But it's not the number one thing anymore. The number one thing right now, yeah, is taunting. Taunting is the number one thing. The NFL has tried to kind of get away from some of the stuff we see in the NBA, some of the stuff we even see in baseball at the bat flip. It's part of the game. I understand there's emotions, everything else. You just got to be smart. So am I mad at Chris Jones? I'm not mad. I'm disappointed in Chris Jones. I mean, that wasn't very bright to do. Did he cost us a game? No, he didn't cost us the game. But he caused the probability of the Kansas City Chiefs to win the game to drop. And that's unexcusable. So hopefully he learned his lessons. He owned up to it. You do dumb things. I mean, the adrenaline and the emotion that goes on a football field is just so intense. But you gotta harness it. You cannot. I talked to Bobby Bell, one of the greatest guys, one of the greatest ambassadors, not only for the Kansas City Chiefs, but for the NFL Hall of Famer. And we were on the golf course on Monday at Dry and Cherry's golf tournament. And I said, hey, what'd you think of the Chris Jones thing? And he said, you know what, Granny? He said, I would just whisper in their ear, I'll be right back. I'll be right back. And that's all you need to say. You don't need to say anything else. Say, hey, I'll see you here in a minute. I'll be right back at you. And, you know, you're not going to get flagged for that.
What's the worst thing that anyone ever said to you?
Oh, I've had all kinds of things said about me, about my mother, about my wife,
about
everything.
Your wife?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, what's the thing that
pisses
you off?
You know, I used to just sit there and you smile. You know what pisses them off? Is you sit there and you look at him and you smile at him and said, all right. I'll see you here in a little bit. And I would say the same. Hey, I'm taking the number. Here we go.
But what pissed you off?
What do you mean what pissed
like what's,
me off?
What's like, tell me something that
gonna,
really.
Well, I'm not going to say anything like rude. I'm not, did they just, people make rude comments. People say dumb things. People will say stuff about your parents, about your mother, about you.
That's what I mean.
About
like what pushed your buttons?
I don't know. What has pushed your buttons over the years?
Why didn't you play for the NFL?
But you are an emotional guy, and you've been out. Have you ever been out at any kind of event or anything else, and somebody said, "Hey, you look like blah 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 blah," and you just get mad, but you just you know, you don't go and throw a punch. You can't, because if you do, then you get in trouble. So, and that's why I never did either. I don't remember ever getting in any kind of personal foul for somebody saying something. Now, I got personal fouls for illegal chop block. I got personal fouls for entering fight areas. I got personal fouls for fighting in a game. But I don't remember ever getting a personal foul for spouting something back at somebody. So,
I mean, so my point is, should that be, is there anything anyone can say that should warrant a 15-yard penalty? You're talking about chop blocks and some of the physical and throwing a punch. Those are all penalties. This, should words equal a 15-yard penalty?
These words are penalties. There are words. There are certain, you know, if you call somebody, you know, a slang word, or you call somebody something that's racially biased, then you're going to get called. Okay. Those are penalties. I mean, should they be penalties? That's something that the NFLPA and the NFL really should meet at and say, hey, listen, guys, what are these words? What are these things that are going to cause a yellow flag to come out? Because they're very well structured with illegal chop blocks, holdings, you know, pass interference, all those different things, offsides, you know. But I'm not sure if these guys know exactly what the words are, but there are certain words or certain situations that they're going to – it's a penalty. And whether we agree with it or not, it is. And, you know, Chris Jones fell into that trap with his emotions and everything else. So I don't think we should make excuses for Chris. Chris didn't make excuses for himself. He did not make a good decision, and it's as simple as that. And I think if he had to do it all over again, he probably wouldn't have done it. But, you know, once again, maybe it should be a little clearer what is the threshold for these penalties and for these words and for this smack talk and for this verbal garbage that goes back and forth between two guys.
Right. And I think he's alluded to that, too. There should be a better explanation if a player doesn't know.
But he shouldn't need an explanation because it was dumb to say.
Right.
It really was. I mean, let's just
call
it
the way. Whatever he said, we don't know what he said.
Yeah, we don't know. You know what? Isn't that funny? I mean, so many secrets, whether it's national security or like, you know, laws that are being made from the Supreme Court, all get leaked out. But this word's not getting leaked out to the press. Isn't that amazing? You would think that you know, whatever it is, it must have been really horrible, because if it was just like, hey, you're a jerk and you're ugly, then it probably would have come out by now, don't you think?
Adam Teicher was the pool reporter that asked the official. And the official would just say it was abusive language, wouldn't tell him. Why not say what it was?
I don't know.
That's my question.
I agree with that.
I have a hypothetical theory on that, but it's only hypothetical.
Let's hear it, because I have a hypothetical hypothetical theory also. What's yours?
I'll give you, I think mine's there. Some people would say the official knows he shouldn't have thrown the flag, so he's not saying it because he's protecting himself.
Hmm. Why won't Chris Jones say what he said?
Yeah. Then? Yeah, I mean, see, if Chris Jones said something that wasn't, he should say, hey, guys, listen, I called him a blankety blank, and it was stupid.
Unless Andy told him, don't say nothing. I can see
that's
that.
It's possible.
Maybe. And maybe the head of the officials said, don't say nothing.
It's just so bizarre to me.
It's also possible Chris Jones feels like, man, if I say what I said out loud to everybody, I'll get even more backlash from the public. Than
right,
because
remember what happened with the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Mason Rudolph.
Right.
That Rudolph situation where, you know, he said this, said that, and he said this, and then it, you know, became a big controversy and a lot of drama around it. And I think the last thing the Chiefs want at this point is any more drama around what's going on over there. I mean, listen, there's plenty of drama situations going on around One Arrowhead Stadium as it is, with, you know, different things with family members, which we don't need to get into.
I didn't know. I mean, like, what drama are we talking about?
Well, I mean, Andy Reid's son.
Right.
That's some drama. That's some stuff that's going on. It's still in the works in the background. You know, there's drama between Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes. There's some drama there.
Okay, we've had all week long people tell me there's nothing to see there, and you say there is.
There's drama. That's drama. I mean, is it forgotten? See, here's my opinion on what's going on with those two. When things get really stressful, they're both so competitive that, you know, one guy is, you know, kind of clashing with the other guy. It only seems that, like, it rears its ugly head in stressful situations. Which happens in every workplace, which happens, you know, everywhere that, you know, there's two big personalities that collide. So I don't think that it's a thing that Eric Bieniemy can't do his job because he doesn't like Patrick Mahomes, or Patrick Mahomes can't do his job because he doesn't like Eric Bieniemy. I think that they have very similar personalities, and they clash. And under stressful situations, Eric wants, to do it one way, and he's the coach. And here's the deal. As great as Patrick Mahomes is, all right, as great as Patrick, when he signed his name on the dotted line, he signed his name on the dotted line to be the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, the player. Eric Bieniemy signed on the dotted line to be the coach, right? So each person has a role, and you can't blur those roles. It doesn't matter how great you are. Joe Montana didn't blur his role with Marty Schottenheimer or Paul Hackett. You can't blur those roles. Players play, coaches coach, and guess what? Fans cheer. Fans are the, everybody has a role in this, and you can't blur those roles. Once you start to blur those roles, and I'm not blaming anybody for it. It could be one or the other or both. You can't blur those roles. And once you start to blur those roles, that's when you start to have these little issues that pop up and spring up. And it's just not good for the two people involved. And guess what? It's not good for the team. The guys see that. When you're walking out the field and you see a player and a coach arguing on the sideline, you see it. It does affect you mentally. It may not be a devastating mental effect, but it's a mental effect. He's like, oh man, they're fighting about this again. Oh gosh, what happened now? Maybe Patrick was right. Maybe we should have gone for it. Or maybe Bieniemy was right. Maybe we should just take it and say, hey, let's come back after halftime and try to get down there and score. I don't know, but it doesn't. Those are the kind of little things, those little distractions that you just don't need.
See, and it also depends on who does it, because, I mean, of course, the Chiefs are playing Brady this weekend. If Tom Brady argues with a coach, the narrative is, what a fiery competitor.
Why do you think Patrick Mahomes is getting picked on?
Because I think that, you see that people are quick to try to tear him down. Because he got built up, and just like, Tom Brady's won how many championships? It seems like he's above that now. But for Patrick Mahomes, as quickly as he got built up, haven't you kind of sensed that, like, from a national perspective? I don't think around here Mahomes can do no wrong. I think everyone here sides with Mahomes, whether he's right or wrong.
With his arguments with Eric Bieniemy.
I mean, everyone's going to side with Mahomes. Like, is there anyone here that would blink an eye that said, "Well, Bieniemy's leaving"?
No, they wouldn't.
And like it's you brought up Joe Montana.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting because if there was ever a quarterback who could call the shots, who could tell coaches what to do, it would be Joe Montana in that situation, because he came here as a savior, right? Didn't he handpick Hackett to be the offensive coordinator or no?
No, I don't know.
I mean, they changed the offense for him.
They came, right? Yeah.
But you didn't have all those cameras. You didn't have social media. Things like that could happen, but we couldn't have seen it. But you're saying Montana wasn't like that. Because if anyone could have been, he would have got the Tom Brady treatment.
Yeah, well, there's just right ways and wrong ways to go about doing this. When you go into the tunnel, you can always grab your coach by the arm and say, hey, listen, that's bull crap. And I've done that. We've all, hey, you know what? We need to do this, and we're not doing this, and I don't think this is a good thing to do. And then your coach will look at you, and he'll say, hey, okay, we'll talk about it. Or he said, listen, shut the blank up. I'm the coach. You're the player. Go play. That happens all the time, too. I can't tell you how many times, whether it's in the huddle with the quarterback or on the sideline, when offensive linemen, this is the famous phrase that offensive linemen have, hey, just run the damn ball. Just run the ball. And the quarterback will look at you and say, shut the hell up. The ones that have any balls will say, shut the hell up. We're doing what we do. You play. We'll call the plays, and we'll go from there. And, just keep your opinion to yourself. And then you go to the sideline. Many times an offensive line coach will come up and you'll say, hey, let's just run the ball. And there's a lot of emotions with it, and then they kind of let you calm down, and they go from there. So there are arguments, but there's times and places to do. And it just seems that the times and places that Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy pick to have these little arguments are, like, right when everybody's kind of, disbanding or something. It's just those two. You barely, very rarely see Eric Bieniemy going over to the sideline and arguing with Patrick Mahomes, or Patrick Mahomes arguing with him at the bench. It seems like this is when they're walking off the field. And I think it has to do with they're both just emotional guys. They're both very competitive, and they both have are very stuck in strong wills in their ways. So there you go.
Nate, what do you say?
I don't think there's anybody to blame here. I'm just saying it does cause drama. And it's the last thing. You just don't want a lot of drama around your organization or your team, especially when you're losing a football game.
I believe Eric Bieniemy when he says that he likes having a player like that, that's a fiery competitor like that, that's going to show some emotion. I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's the kind of guy that's like, this damn Patrick Mahomes, you know, is too fiery. I think when he says he's a competitive prick, he says that with the utmost respect, you know. But I think part of the issue here, too, is, and he even said this at the press conference yesterday, Big Red's the one with 51% of the vote. You know, when Mahomes is yelling at Eric Bieniemy, that's not Bieniemy's decision.
You don't see anyone yelling at Andy Reid on
the
sideline.
Yeah, nobody's yelling at Andy Reid.
You ain't going to yell at Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Why?
Because Andy Reid has that kind of presence on the sideline.
Right. Nobody.
No, when Andy walked over there, that argument ended very quickly.
And he didn't yell. He just walked over and kind of put his hand on Mahomes like, hey, enough. Yeah. you know. Like, okay, and then that was enough. Like, Mahomes, shut up.
And I hate to make this comparison, so don't think this is a sexist comparison. But, you know, how many times have your kids been arguing with your wife? You know, they argue about this, argue about that, and then you walk in and you just say, hey, that's enough. Enough is enough. Okay. And it stops, usually. And it's just kind of the way it is. I mean, you know, Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes having an argument, going at it, and then the big papa walks up and says, hey, no mas.
I quit like grandpa.
Yeah, grandpa. But
no, you're not yelling at grandpa. You better not yell at grandpa. And if someone sees you yelling at grandpa,
the patriarch or the matriarch of the family, you don't mess with them. Right. They've earned that respect, right?
Sure, absolutely. And so, moving forward, you don't think it's going to be an issue. Like for this, because the offense didn't play well.
No.
It's different if that happens and they would have won the game. It gets washed away, but they didn't win the game. And there was an issue going into halftime of the AFC Championship game loss.
So this is really two incidences in five games.
And so that's why I ask you, is this going to be an issue moving forward?
I will say that this will not be the last time that they argue. This is probably not the last time that we may see little remnants of that. I think they're going to, they've been told, hey, listen, let's keep this within house here. When he's walking off the field, Eric, don't confront the player. You know, if the player comes up to you, just say, hey, we'll talk about it and walk away. Or it's been told to Mahomes, hey, listen, we'll talk about it at halftime, or we'll talk about it on the bench, or we'll talk about it in the right situation. Let's not do it here. But it's going to happen again because, going back to my original point, they're both very competitive guys. Guys, I've known Eric Bieniemy since 1988, 89. And he basically, before the Notre Dame-Colorado game, I'll never forget. I mean, you know how like the teams kind of go out to the hashes and the captains are out there. He came across the hash and challenged every one of us. He was like, we're going to kick your blank, and then just walking up and down, just like screaming in guys' faces, just being his most competitive guy. I was like, what a jerk. But, after a while, I realized he's just a really competitive guy, and he's trying to get his team going. And then when I've met him, he's such a great guy to talk to and be around. But when in competitive situations, stressful situations, he just gets there's another Eric Bieniemy. And guess what? Patrick Mahomes is the same way. I see Patrick Mahomes out on the golf course. He's messing around, having a good time. But, when it's in a competitive situation, very rarely do you see Patrick ever being like aggressive or being over the top in any way. But once again, stress and being competitive and wanting to win, those guys, which are special people, they sometimes clash when you get in these situations.
Do you think that demeanor in any way has been one of the factors that has led to Eric Bieniemy not getting hired as a head coach, where they've looked and say, well, hey, this, he gets in a situation, he'll lose his head or he'll argue with,
I can't answer that question.
Would that make a difference
to you? If I was an owner, I think I'd be a little concerned. But that would just be, you know, you have a box, right? You have a box of the pros and the cons. That might be in the con box. There's plenty of them in the pro box, though.
Can I make a hot take here?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Because you're not, you know, nobody, we're never supposed to say anything critical of Patrick Mahomes. Bieniemy was the one that was in the right there, and Mahomes was the one that was in the wrong.
Yep.
And it goes back to what happened in the playoff game. Mahomes talked the coaches into letting him go for it and trusting him, and he blew it. That's the truth. And look, Mahomes is the greatest quarterback on planet Earth. I love Patrick Mahomes with all my heart. He's done hardly anything wrong since he's been, but he blew that situation. He told the coaches to trust him, and then he threw a pass that got that cost them points. He blew it. And so they're in a situation here that's not even, they're not even at the goal line. And they said, hey, man, we're going to take this into the locker room. And he showed his coach up on the field.
Yep.
And I thought Bieniemy actually did a very good job of composing himself. He didn't go back at him and yell at him and MF him or anything.
He smiled and put his hands out.
Hey, we're going to go to the locker room. He stood his ground, but he didn't escalate the situation at all. So to me, like, that's one where Mahomes is actually in the wrong in this one. Now, look, at the end of the day, if there's a problem between the two, we know who everybody's choosing. You're choosing Mahomes. Because you can find another offensive coordinator, you can't find another Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes probably knows that a little bit. Hey, look, I'm Patrick Mahomes. I can yell at my offensive coordinator if I want to. And that's the only guy that can tell Patrick Mahomes to stop it is Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
And he came over and he did. But I'm glad that that happened because, and look, and I'm glad that Mahomes is competitive and all that stuff. But that's my opinion. I looked at that and I still think that. I don't think, like, what did Eric Bieniemy do wrong there? He got screamed at by his quarterback for executing what his head coach told him to do, and he just kind of stood his ground and explained to him, hey, we're going to go to the locker room. This is going to be all right. Like, what, if to me, like, if, what are we mad at Eric Bieniemy about here?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's particularly mad at anybody. It's just a situation that really and truly needs to work itself out because it the body language and the perception of your quarterback arguing with your offensive coordinator. Now, to your point, Stephen, I agree with you. Are people held to different standards? Yes, that's the way life is.
Of course they are.
Tom Brady,
yeah,
may, he's held to a different standard.
Of course.
He may do the same thing as, let's say, Jalen Hurt. But Jalen Hurt's not going to get the benefit of the doubt or not going to get the, you know, the win behind him like Tom Brady is. It's just the way it is. It has nothing to do with anything but, you know, the longer you play, the more you know, experience you have, and the more you've built yourself up, your brand up, you get treated differently. That's just the way of the world. Now, to get to your point, you know, I'm not mad at Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not mad at Eric Bieniemy. I've seen it a million times. I've been around it, and I wasn't mad. But I will say this: it affects the team, and guess what? I think it affects Mahomes.
That's all that matters right there.
Right.
Is there an effect on the team? Does it affect the results?
I do. And right. and it certainly caused issues for Mahomes in the second half of the Bengal game. He was not the same quarterback. I don't care what you say.
That's the truth.
He just was not the same quarterback. And, you know, I don't know. He didn't look great in the first half of the Colts game. It didn't look great. It didn't look disastrous, but just didn't look great. I don't know. I don't know if that affects him negatively, that he gets into these squabbles. Maybe in the back of his mind, he's like, man, you know, he's that's not really his personality to be argumentative. And maybe he's like, you know, he's like subconsciously, you know, has an issue that with, you know, maybe, gosh, I shouldn't have done that, or I don't know. But, and this is, I'm just guessing here, but it's just not good for Patrick Mahomes. It's not good for the team, and it's not good. And if you would ask Andy Reid, and you ask Eric Bieniemy, and you ask Patrick Mahomes, they'd say the same thing. This isn't a hot take. It's just not a good situation to be in.
And they lost.
And they lost. And when you lose, guess what, guys? This is the last thing. I know, Marco, you gotta take a break here. There's problems with winning, and there's problems with losing, right? It's better to have problems when you're winning than having problems when you're losing. It's as simple as that. because there's always going to be issues. There's always going to be problems. And when you have problems when you're losing, they get exacerbated and you know, they get highlighted and they get put out front. But you have problems all the time. When you're winning, they don't seem to pop up as much. If the Chiefs would have come back and scored 21 points in that second half, we'd say, oh, my gosh, did you see Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes at halftime? Yeah, they kind of went at it, but that'd be it. Nobody would say anything. But because they lost, you got problems at winning, problems at losing. Problems at losing, these kind of things happen.
We have Tim Gunhart in studio back after this on WHB.
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go?
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Tim Grenhart in the studio. Tim, we also talked a lot today about what happened with Tua last night in the Miami-Cincinnati game. You know, we saw him, what looked like a head injury in the game on Sunday against Buffalo. You know, fall back, hit the back of his head, get up, yeah. Wobble, and he returned to that game. And so then Miami says that was a back injury while he was wobbling. And so then there was a lot of question whether or not he was going to play on Thursday. Quick turnaround, everything else. He was questionable. He plays. Plenty of people before the game were saying it's a mistake that he's playing. He played. We saw what happened. He got ragdolled, hit his head, and it was certainly a very scary situation. Taken off on a stretcher. They say he was okay. He had a neck brace after the game, after release from the hospital, and flew back to Miami with his team. Man,
just an ugly situation. So I made a call actually this morning to a buddy of mine who does this concussion protocol for college football, and he's actually down in the Florida area. So he wouldn't give me any information on what he knew about this Tua situation. But so, you know, there's a six-step process the players go through. And number one is the athlete is observed for 20 seconds, no talk. They just sit there and look at him and see how he's doing. All right, and then they'll ask him some questions. Say, which field are you at? Who are we playing? Which quarter is it? How much time is left in the game? Which side scored last? Which half these questions I would never have gotten right, even if I didn't have concussions. Who do we play next week? And did we win or lose last week? So those are kind of the questions that they go through. And then they go through a kind of a physical assessment where they're looking at you don't bobble. So they have to lift your hands from your hips. Then they say open and close your eyes. You got to lift your forefoot or your heel and stand for like 5 or 10 seconds with no bobble. And then they also look for a review of concussion signs and symptoms. The crazy thing is with concussions, 93% of concussions follow when you have a concussion, you have headaches. So that's number one. All right, that's definitely going to happen. So if you're on the sideline, you have a headache or your head's bothering you, then you probably have a concussion. Number two is what we saw with Tua is 74% of concussions are dizzy or unsteady. So, I mean, the odds are if you're dizzy or unsteady, which he was, you probably have a concussion. The number three thing is difficult to concentrate. You know, once again, you know, light issues, nausea, drowsiness, noise. 57% of the people have difficulty with the concentration or one of those signs of, you know, light issues or nausea or drowsiness or noise is really bothering you. And the crazy thing is we all think about concussions like, hey, if you got a concussion, you get knocked out, right? Oh, my gosh, you got knocked out. He's got to have a concussion. Only like 5% of concussions that happen in the NFL, college football, and they did Major League Soccer. That's where this study came from, is like 5% are unconscious. Unconscious right. has nothing really to do with concussions. Now, if you're knocked out, you're probably going to have a concussion, but that's not like, oh, he's fine. He was awake all the time. He's fine. That's not it. So to get to the Tua situation, the NFLPA is going to investigate this, and they really need to. Because here's the thing. It bugs me on two different levels. Number one is you hate to see an NFL player put in a situation where, you know, not just his football career, but his life is put in harm's way because of decisions that are being made. Not only by him, the player, because the player is going to usually lean towards, hey, I'm fine, I can go back in there. And you got to have a strong head coach, you got to have a strong doctor, you have to have a strong concussion protocol put in place that you can't make those decisions. All right, and it looks to me that there was a glitch somewhere in the system with this thing that happened in Buffalo with Tua. Maybe he talked him in and said, I'm fine, or maybe he said, you know, oh, it's all good, but you can't let the player talk you into it because that happens all the time in high school because we don't have these doctors on the sideline that have concussion protocol. We have a trainer. Sometimes we have an orthopedic. So really, you are the first line of defense for these players, and the players always try to talk themselves back in, or talk you into letting them back into the game. And this is what bothers me on the second level, is now if your guy comes off and he's stumbling around a little bit and he tries to talk you in, he said, well, you know, the guys in the NFL go back in. Why can't we go back in? Well, because it's more important for us to make sure, and I promise you, when I'm over on the sidelines, because of what happened to Mike Webster and that whole concussion thing and whether that's what caused him to have a lot of the issues, which I really and truly believe did, you know, I swore that I would never, ever, ever put anybody in a situation where their health long-term is affected by something that happens in high school football especially, or let alone college or NFL. You can't let that happen. It's so important to take care of the player, even when they can't take care of themselves. So I don't know what happened in this situation, but there was a glitch in the system, and it needs to be worked out, because there's no reason to Tua, especially after having those kind of symptoms. We just read the symptoms. And on a Sunday game, playing on a Thursday, I mean, that was like 3 or 4 days ago. It's a short week. I mean, a Sunday would be bad enough, but a Thursday. So it's an unfortunate situation, and I hope that he's okay. But, man, you know, you don't want to put a player in a situation where they can lose their career and, you know, maybe lose their lives eventually because of it.
Tim Grenhard is in studio. I know you have to go to an event, and so before we let you go, I would like to get your thoughts on the game. How do you think this game plays out on Sunday night? It will be played in Tampa, between the Chiefs and the Bucks. Both teams coming off a disappointing loss. What's going to happen on Sunday?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's good news for the Chiefs. Listen, they had a bad game. They had a letdown game. They took a week off. And if I know Andy Reid, he's refocused and got these guys refocused. I think that Tampa Bay defensively is still very, very strong. Shaq Barrett's talking a lot of crap about how, you know, the offensive line isn't any good. And the offensive line needs to really pick up their play, both in pass protection and the run game. I know they're ranked 9th or 10th in pass protection, but it doesn't look like that to me. I don't know about you guys. It just seems like Patrick Mahomes is always running around for his life back there, and we got to get that settled. But I think defensively the Chiefs are going to be okay. Mike Evans is back. Fournette has hurt the Chiefs over the years. Tom Brady does not look as nimble, even for him, as he was. He's been getting sacked a bunch in the Green Bay game. He looked lost in that pocket. So I think the Chiefs bounce back in this game. I think you're going to see a really focused team. I think you're going to see a team that has a chip on their shoulder after playing so poorly against the Colts. That's just what I'm hoping. And you know what? If they don't come out that way, then I'm going to be very concerned. Because usually Andy Reid can rally the guys back. I think the Chiefs win this football game. I think, you know, I think it's like the line has gone down to like 0.05 from like 2 or 3. I think the Chiefs win this football game by at least a touchdown. And they play better this week. I think Andy Reid finds ways of getting his teams back after these kind of games, and I think you'll see it again this week.
Tim Grenhard, thank you for the time. Have fun today.
All right, thank you.
That is Tim Grenhard back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And they like to do what they did against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, Andrew, the last time these two teams faced. Remember, Mahomes' worst passer rating of his career. He was pressured 20 times. The Chiefs go and revamp that offensive line, make it what a lot of us believe, one of the better groups in the NFL. You know who doesn't agree with that? Shaq Barrett of the Tampa Bay Bucks, who just this morning said he doesn't see a whole lot of differences in this new offensive line. He sees a lot of favorable matchups for their pass rush to get after this group, and he believes that this could be a dominant performance by the Bucks pass rush and, quote, their coming out party. It's interesting, it's their coming out party, the third in the NFL in sacks and the number one defense in all of football. But the interesting part I want to keep my eye on, Bucky, is early in this game. Todd Bowles said if there's one issue with his defense, it's been that they've given up 20 of their 27 points on the first two drives of the game. We know how good Andy Reid is at scripting at the beginning portion of a game, and he believes he has not gotten the group in rhythm offensively. What better time to do it if the Bucks come out of the gate a little bit slow defensively?
If you look back at the tape, it seemed like there was just one person on every play that wasn't in the perfect spot. And I mean, in this league, everybody has to be on the same page. I have to make the right reads whenever it's my job to make the read. The offensive line has to block as a unit. The receivers have to run routes off of each other. And I think if you can get that all together, that's when you can have those big days like we did the first week. And obviously, when you don't, you have weeks like we did this last week.
I enjoyed the speculation on Twitter about that quote from Patrick Mahomes. Was he saying there was one specific person that was always out of place, or there was just one person every play that was out of place, but it was a different person every time? So then people saw, well, if it was one person, I know who it is. I don't know. I think he meant that it seemed like there was always one person, not one specific person, but a different person on every play that was on a different page. Not the same guy every play. But if there was one guy that was not on the same page, I have a nomination. So, I don't know.
You like, which guy do you think it is?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's hard, man.
Yeah. Ugh. What's the score going to be, Marco?
So, I did a little something yesterday on DraftKings. I bought points for the Chiefs. I think it's going to be a two-touchdown game. So I went on DraftKings, and I said, you know what? I think the spread is going to be 13 because that's how high it would let you go. Wouldn't let you go any higher than that. So I took the Chiefs minus 13 at plus 400 with confidence. I think they're going to smoke them out of the water.
Wow.
I think it's going to be – it's going to be – yeah, I know. Didn't make too much sense, but neither does the bet that I made.
So what did you get for minus 13? So what did you get?
Plus 400. Yeah. And it wouldn't let me go minus 14 or minus 15, or else I might have been here.
I think you're good where you are. I think it's probably enough out of you.
I think it's going to be a 32-21. Buccaneers are lucky to get over 20, or are lucky enough to get over 20 in this
so
game.
So if it's 32-21, then you lose your bet.
Okay, so 32-18. I don't know.
You just said you got minus 13 that you predicted to be 32-21. It's 11.
I thought the whole part of the show was math isn't our thing.
Well, probably.
It does help when you're going to gamble, though, if you know, like, you know, what your team needs to win by.
Go with the score that you pick.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs are going to win. Who did you bet on? I took the Bucks. Okay, Nate Bucati, what's going to happen on Sunday?
I got to think the Chiefs won by double digits as well. And for Marco, that's 10 or more.
Thanks. Oh, I missed the joke you made earlier, though. I apologize.
Did he say this too? Our man Jeff Kerr tweeted out, Tony Gonzalez on NFL Prime postgame show said Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert is the best tight end in the league right now.
He'll be on Monday at 8:30.
Who, Dallas Goedert?
No, Jeff Kerr.
Tony Gonzalez?
What a hater.
Amen.
I've got so many reasons not to like him, and I don't need any more, and he just keeps giving them like a fountain.
Has there been a guy that's like one of the all-time greats in Kansas City sports history that's like made himself less likable?
I don't know, but I got mocked 3 years ago by Jeff Chedia and others when I said when I started my campaign, it was 3 or 4 years ago, that Travis Kelce is the greatest tight end in Chiefs history. It was before the Chiefs won a Super Bowl. Go look at the postseason numbers. And I love it. I love the fact that Travis Kelce will be number one in Chiefs history. Is
number one.
Is.
And he has a Super Bowl. Totally. Hey, we don't have diplomas.
Yeah, well, it's pretty obvious that you don't. I think the Chiefs win by 7. So, how's that sound to you?
Go buy you some points.
31-24 is what I'll say. What a stupid, boring score. But that's what I'll say. Missouri gets their doors blown off by Georgia. I think Kansas beats Iowa State straight up.
Okay.
And I think K-State has a tussle with Texas Tech, but they win.
Tussle.
Yeah. And I think Kansas-Iowa State is going to be a fun game, but I just think that Kansas is too explosive. Explosivo by Tenacious D.
Explosivo! Glowing Dragons got a big game tomorrow, 2:15.
They're too explosive.
Luckily, college football games take 7 hours, so I'll still be able to watch the last three quarters of the KU football game after that's over.
Wow. All right, I'll see you at the Walk to Defeat ALS tomorrow and the Walked in Alzheimer's on Sunday. Have a great weekend right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.